song. How long to sing this song? How long? How long? How long? How long to sing this song?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We sing the song as long as it takes. Amen.
We sing it till it's done.
Till the fat lady sings it's not done. All right. Did everybody get a siddur?
Where is the fat lady?
Oh, I didn't.
Oh, by the way, welcome folks watching online. We hope we didn't offend you. We're just, I'm just a comedian. What can I say? I'm Joe Bell, and this is my wife, Dawn, and this is for Zion's Sake Ministries, and we're glad you're with us. We're glad the folks here, we have the Passamontes, we have the Hasselroths, and brother, tell me your last, Stephen, your and your wife's last name, forgive me.
Halbert.
Yeah. Halbert, amen. Well, welcome you. Welcome you all. We're glad you're with us tonight. Amen. Amen. I don't know where the rest of our group are. I think we wore them out. Yeah.
Okay. So this there's a Shabbat siddur, but this is a holiday siddur. Raise your books. Let me see if you got the right one. Yeah. Okay.
It should be red.
Red, not purple. Okay. Hallelujah. So let's turn. It's a, as you know, this is Hebrew, so instead of left to right, it's right to left. You're reading the book backwards. You guys probably all know that. We're going to start on page 109. This is a Nila service, which is the closing of the gates. And let's all stand up and just come into his presence with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. And we acknowledge him in all our ways. Let's see, 109. 109. Okay, Nila. All right, so Rabbi, if you'll start with the leader, and we'll, this is Psalm 145, and we're just going to say it together in the liturgy, but it's a reading in response, and Rabbi will help us.
I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever.
Every day will I bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable.
One generation will praise your works to another, and will proclaim your mighty acts.
I will speak of the splendor of your majesty and of your wondrous works.
And the men will speak of the power of your reverent and awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness.
They will glowingly recall your great goodness and will joyfully sing of your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love.
The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works.
All your works will praise you, O Lord, and your people will extol you.
They will speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power.
To make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the splendor and majesty of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations.
Continue.
And a redeemer, and this is a great verse for parents to speak over their children and grandchildren. And a redeemer shall come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is in you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart out of your mouths, nor out of the mouths of your children, nor out of the mouths of your children's children, says the Lord, from now on and forevermore.
Amen. Let's go on to page 113, Act for the Sake of Prayer. And I guess we'll just all say this together. I don't know. Rabbi, just let me know if you see any canting that you would like to do. But otherwise, we'll just do in English.
That's okay.
All right. So there at the top. Let's together. God, your name is merciful. God, your name is gracious. We belong to you, O Lord.
O Lord, act for your name's sake. Act for the sake of your truth. Act for your covenant. Act for the sake of your greatness. Act for your majesty. Act for the sake of your Torah. Act for your glory. Act for the sake of your faithfulness. Act for your fame. Act for the sake of your kindness. Act for your goodness. Act for the sake of your unity. Act for your renown. Act for the sake of your instructions. Act for your sovereignty. Act for the sake of your eternity. Act for your mystery. Act for the sake of your power. Act for your excellence. Act for the sake of your justice. Act for your holiness. Act for the sake of your great compassion. Act for your glorious presence. Act for the sake of your friends who have died. Act for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Act for the sake of Moses and Aaron. Act for the sake of David and Solomon. Act for the sake of Jerusalem, your holy city. Act for the sake of Zion, your glorious residence. Act for the sake of the desolation of your temple. Act for the sake of the destruction of your altar. Act for the sake of the blood of your servants who were killed. Act for the sake of those slain for your holy name. Act for the sake of those slaughtered for your unity. Act for the sake of those who suffered for the sanctification of your name. Act for the sake of the children who study Torah. Act for the sake of infants who are not yet accountable. Act for the sake of widows and orphans. Act for the sake, if not for ours, act for your sake and deliver us. But God commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Messiah died for us. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an expiation for our sins. We trust you, our God. Act for the sake of Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. And let's go to, we'll all stand, if we're not standing, and we'll recite the Shema.
At the bottom of page 115.
115.
Actually, it says go to page 15.
15.
115 directs you to 15. Okay. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Li'olam Va'ed, V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, V'chol Levavcha, V'chol Nafshecha, V'chol Me'odecha, V'hayu Hadivarim Ha'ele, Asher Enochim Etzavcha Hayom Al Levavecha, V'shinatam Levanecha, V'dibarta Baham, V'shivtecha Beveitecha, V'lechtecha Vaderech, Uveshach Becha, Ubekumecha, Ukeshartam, Al Mezuzot Beitecha, Uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is alone. Blessed is he whose glorious kingdom is eternal. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your life, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as reminders on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gate.
Amen. Amen. Could somebody bring me, was that my phone that went off back there, Carol? Would you bring me the phone? I'll shut the sound off. Please.
Hallelujah. We're going to have some worship, and then Rabbi's going to bring a short message, and then we will sound the great shofar at the end. And so.
Thank you.
Tituli Sharet Sevek Hafofam Odeya Pitu Pituli Sharet Sevek Hafofam Odeya Pituli Sharet Sevek Hafofam Odeya Pituli Sharet Sevek Hafofam Odeya. Open up the gates of righteousness. Let me in to worship Hashem. Open up the gates of righteousness. Let me in to begin again. Pituli Sharet Sedek Avobom Odeya. Pituli Sharet Sedek Avobom Odeya. Wonderful are thy wondrous deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are all thy ways, O Lord King of the ages art thou. Great and wonderful are thy wondrous deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are all thy ways, O Lord King of the ages art thou. Who shall not fear and glorify thy name, O Lord, for thou alone art holy, thou alone. All the nations shall come and worship thee, for thy glory shall be revealed. Hallelujah, 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 amen. Put your hands together. Woo! Oh, great and wonderful are thy wondrous deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are all thy ways, O Lord King of the ages art thou. Who shall not fear and glorify thy name, O Lord, for thou art holy, thou alone. All the nations come and worship thee, for thy glory shall be revealed. Hallelujah, 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 amen. La 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 la. Praises awaiting you, O God in Zion.
For to you the vow will be performed.
O you who hear prayer,
to you all flesh will come.
You will provide an atonement for them. Praises awaiting you, O God in Zion. And to you the vow will be performed. O you who hear our prayer, to you all flesh will come. You will provide an atonement for them. Fields are covered with flocks. Valleys are mantled with grain.
lifting their voices together, they shout for her joy as they sing. Praise is awaiting you, O God in Zion, and to you the vow will be performed. O you who hear our prayer, to you all flesh will come. You will provide an atonement for them. Praise is awaiting you, O God in Zion, and to you the vow will be performed. O you who hear our prayer, to you all flesh will come. You will provide an atonement for them. You established the mountains, you created them by your might. Being clothed with your power, you make morning and evening rejoice. Praise is awaiting you, O God in Zion, and to you the vow will be performed. O you who hear our prayer, to you all flesh will come. You will provide an atonement for them. Praise is awaiting you, O God in Zion, and to you the vow will be performed. O you who hear our prayer, to you all flesh will come. You will provide an atonement for them.
Hallelujah. How many of you know that we can rejoice in the end times? Because,
well, we're being chased.
As we're being chased, as the wickedness
arises. As we're being
hunted
in the clefts of the rocks.
But the wonderful thing is,
by people with the mark of the beast.
Hallelujah.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
On my parade. But the wonderful thing is that while the tares are increasing, it says that the light is increasing in us. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to experience some wonderful times of revival and worship in Him. And hallelujah, we have the greatest thing in the world to look forward to, and that's the return of Yeshua. And there's going to be a highway in the desert, it says, for the redeemed of the Lord. And from the mouth of the Lord of hosts, it will be a fiery sword. And guess what? All the world will see Yeshua. All the world will see salvation. And all the world will see that He is King. There shall
be a highway in the desert for the redeemed of the Lord. And from the mouth of the Lord of hosts shall go forth a fiery sword, and all the world will see Yeshua. And all the world will see salvation. All the world will see Yeshua, and all the world will see He is King.
There shall be a fountain in the city to cleanse all the people from sin. And with the tree of life in the midst of her, for the healing of the nations. And all the world will see
Yeshua.
And all the world will see
salvation.
And all the world will see
Yeshua.
And all the world will see He is King. Oh, there shall
be
a sign
in
the heavens, and all the land
will
mourn
for Him.
When they look upon one who has pierced, come
coming back to Jerusalem, and all the world will see Yeshua, and all the world will see salvation, and all the world will see Yeshua, and all the world will see He is King.
And all the world will see He is King.
Thank you, Lord. What's next?
L'chaim be'Yeshua, hallelujah. L'chaim be'Yeshua, hallelujah. U'ahav oti, u'ahev oti. Lord, take my life and let it be wholly yielded, Lord, to Thee. Lord, take my life and let it be wholly yielded, Lord, to Thee. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In my spirit, let me see. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wholly yielded, Lord, to Thee. L'chaim be'Yeshua. Hallelujah. L'chaim be'Yeshua. Hallelujah. U'ahav oti, u'ahev oti. Hallelujah. U'ahav oti. U'ahev oti, Yeshua.
Lord, we love You. We thank You, Father, for Your love for us. As we learned last night, that Your hand continues to stretch out to us. Lord, our mercy towards others is finite, and our patience wears thin. But Lord, Your mercy and Your grace towards us is everlasting. 70 times 7, You reach out to us. You love us. You woo us back to You. We thank You that You never stop looking for us. Come back home. Hallelujah. Sure. So, Lord, we just say to You, I am Your beloved's.
This is a love song to the Lord.
I am my beloved's, which is Yeshua, and He is mine.
Amen.
If He's your beloved, would you raise your hand? All right, let's sing a love song to Him. And let's love on Him.
I am my beloved, and He is mine. He stands beside me,
till the end of all time.
I came to his table. He said, come and dine.
Drink of salvation
from my cup of new wine. Dodili. Anile dodive dodili. Anile dodili. Said to some of you earlier, and folks watching online don't know this, but our doggie passed away today, and we had to put her to sleep. And she spent the night in our room last night, and she couldn't eat since Friday, and all she ate Friday was a hot dog, and she was just drinking mostly with a dropper. We were feeding her with Don was giving her a dropper. I tell you. Dawn likes cats. She loves cats. And she'll smell cats, say, cats smell so good. She just loves the smell of cats. And she says they're so clean, and they clean themselves, and dogs are so smelly and dirty. And she's always trashing dogs. But, you know, then when this dog got sick, she became mama. And she held that dog, and she fed it, she gave it her medicine, and she loved on her, and she just took such special care of that little doggy. And
I was sitting there today in the room, and they give a shot, put the dog to sleep first, before they give the shot that
anesthetic
ends it.
First, yeah.
They give an anesthetic shot to put it to sleep. And I tell you, I wanted to leave the room. My heart was so broken, looking at that poor animal. And he was so brave. She kept her eyes open, and she didn't whimper, nothing. Just one whimper the whole week last week. Just one little whimper. But two days ago, she was out trying to go to the bathroom in the front yard, and she walked out into the street, and she wasn't strong enough to get back to the house. Neighbor saw her sitting in the middle of the road and brought her back and said, "Your dog's sitting in the middle of the street." And I said, "Yeah, she's dying of cancer." And anyway, I didn't have the strength. I wanted to leave. I actually just wanted to leave. My family was there, and I said, "I don't need to be here. I want to go." I still want to see her put to death, you know. And then God, I prayed, and God just gave me strength. He quickened me. And the Holy Spirit just came upon me and strengthened me. And I just loved them, my sons and my family that was there, my in-laws and Dawn and the boys. I prayed that he would strengthen us all, you know. And he did. And his Holy Spirit came down and strengthened me and strengthened us, and we all got through it. And then they asked us if we wanted to cremate her. You know, cremation is not Jewish. It really is not a Jewish practice. And a lot of Jews get cremated, you know, but they're usually not religious Jewish people. And when I think of cremation, I think of the ovens in Nazi Germany and Poland and the concentration camps. I think of cremation. I think of burning the bodies, you know, destroying the evidence. You know what I mean? And God says, you know, from dust to dust, ashes to ashes, you know, we come out of the ground. God made us, and then we go back to the earth, God says. And that's, I believe, what God wants for us is to be buried. You know, it's not that he can't put the pieces back together. Surely he can, right? But I just think it's more of a Jewish thing to be buried. And there's a sense of closure where our boys, we weren't sure what to do because they were in school. So we called the school. I actually had a reason. My son ran out of lunch money, so he had a reason to call his mother. And so she told him, you know, "Do you guys want to come? We're here with the dog." And they came. We got out of school, and they came, and they held the dog before she went. And and I knew that they would want to bury her, and that they would want to. So I had somebody come and dig the grave in our yard, and there was a spot with no grass on it, right where the dog, it's where the dog house used to sit. It sat for 8 years, and there was no grass on that spot between two trees, and you just knew that's where the Lord wanted the dog to lay, to be put to rest. And we know, of course, the dog's not there, but that's where the Lord wanted us to remember her, because she spent 8 years of her life in that spot. So this gentleman who helps me, he dug a grave, and we dug a little bit, and he did the most of it. And and the boys are going to, it's very Jewish also to, when in a Jewish funeral, not that a dog is having a Jewish funeral, but it's customary in a Jewish funeral that the mourners, especially the family, fill in the grave. That you know, the grave diggers, they dig the grave, and they lower the casket into the grave. But it's fitting, it's customary in Judaism for the mourners to fill in, to dig, you know, take the shovel and fill in. Then they pass the shovel to one brother, will pass it to his sister will pass it to her brother, pass it to a cousin, pass it to whoever, a husband or a spouse, you know, whoever wants to do it. And I remember, you know, burying my grandparents and my father I remember, and my mother too, and I remember, you know, how it just caused me to release, you know, so much emotion in taking part and, you know, helping to bury my mother, helping to bury my father, helping to bury my grandparents, doing something, the act of being, participating in it is so important to your closure. And when you know, I've done funerals here where we have an urn with ashes sitting there, and people come in and I do a funeral, and not just here, I've done it in churches too, but you know, it's so strange. There's an urn with ashes in it, and it's not the person. I mean, there's no body, you know, there's no closure. It's the strangest, to me, it's strange. You know, it's cheap. It's cheaper, you know, than having a full funeral. But it's not, to me, it's not as meaningful. So I want to share that with you, as that is a custom in Judaism, to be buried and not to be, cremated. Thank you. So anyway, I don't know why, I just felt like sharing that with you. But that's why, for those folks online, that's why we're late tonight. And what's next, Miss Dawn?
Well, we're going to take an offering if you want to, and then message.
Okay.
And then we'll blow the great shofar after that. So, and I just want to add my little two cents, and I just want to encourage everyone, you know, I was driving down the road, coming here, and I just said, you know, I don't, how many times have I come with my heart just ripped open, and I'm driving down this road to the house of the Lord, and my heart is just ripped open. Whatever it is, you know, today was really, really, it was probably one of the most difficult Yom Kippurs I've ever been through. You know, Yom Kippurs usually kind of come and go, and we do things, but for some reason this time was really difficult. And but this is why we have the synagogue. We come here when our hearts are ripped open, when we need to not only the solace of our brothers and sisters, but we need that space where we can really just go to the Lord. And it's precious to have the house here dedicated to Him. And I thank God when I come into the house of the Lord here to worship Him. He is our solace and the balm of Gilead, and He is the one who brings victory out of the pain and the disappointments of life. Amen. And the difficulties. So with that, I'll turn it over to you. There was programs from last night, and if you got one, if you want, you can get one before you leave if you didn't. And there's more of these flyers you can pick one up and take with you. Sukkot's coming, and so we have three special events planned. The beginning of the feast starts on Shabbat, so that's kind of worked out. So we're just going to have a Saturday morning Sukkot service, and we'll probably go outside, and then we'll have oneg, a nice oneg, our first oneg in the fellowship hall. So please come this week before Sukkot, if you would think about what you'd like to do to decorate our sukkah. That's right in front of the fellowship hall. So bring your offerings, whether it's, we like to, you know, God says to decorate with boughs. So we're going to be putting leaves and stuff like that, but we also want to put decorations. I know that Maria has some ideas already. She's our great idea person, so I'll kind of let you lead on that. And I will say, by the way, that they've called me out for a trip, so I won't be here Saturday morning. I'll be here if we do anything informal Saturday night. We might, but the formal service will be Saturday morning. We decorated the sukkah, and then Wednesday night of the week. Every day is a feast day, but Wednesday night we're going to have a campfire and probably have our, you know, hot dogs, hamburgers. Do you guys think you can make it Wednesday? Think about it. Yeah. Well, think about it. And then the closing of the feast will be the following Saturday. All right? Saturday morning service. Anything else that we plan will be informal. It'll be impromptu. And the fire pit is out there. And if people want to gather, if for some reason Rabbi and I cannot, and somebody would like to come and spend, you know, an evening outside doing whatever, please feel free. Don't, you know, call us and make arrangements, and we'd be happy to do that. And then the last thing is that Joshua's bar mitzvah is now scheduled for October 24th. That's a Saturday morning here. So please pencil that in and consider yourself invited. I'm not sure if we're going to have special music. We'd like to see if Ted Pierce can come, because he sent out an email saying that, you know, he's twiddling his thumbs. Would anybody like to have him? So I'll see if he's available, and also the Iron Torners might be able to come. So we'll see about that as well. And praise the Lord for our new fellowship hall. If you want to go see what what's being done, slowly, bit by bit, it's being restored back to life. Amen?
Amen. We've had, you know, we bought this building 8 years ago in 2012. This was, we had about 80 people in our congregation back then, and they all said to me, we were meeting in the bagel shop, and Carol, I don't think the headset's working. I'll try it for a sec. Okay, let's just keep my, I'll use the hand mic. Okay, so anyway, about 8 years ago, we were meeting in the bagel shop, and we met there since 2003. And how many of you have been to the bagel shop back when we were there? Okay, several of you. And so we had about 80 people, and there was standing, it was standing room only for about 5 years. And people would come in off the street. And the funny thing was, on Saturday mornings, people would walk in off the street and walk right through the service, down the aisle, and go up to the counter. Now, I had the altar right next to the parallel to the register. Dawn had her piano, and I had my microphone, and the table was right there. So all the altar was set up right where the register, right in front of the register. People would walk in, oblivious to the fact that there was a service going on, and there was a guy speaking or preaching or singing or whatever, and they'd walk up to order, and we'd stand there, and I'd be like looking at them until they finally looked around. And, oh, are you're not open? No, but we do have a tray of bagels and coffee for free in the back of the room. Oh, no, I couldn't take that. I'll come back another day. So, when you give it away for free, they won't take it. And we always gave it away for free on Saturdays, on Shabbat, amen? And they never took it, did they, Anthony? They always left. It's like it had cooties or something, you know? We ate it. We ate tons of bagels, and you can I wear it well. At least my wife thinks so. She's calling me a handsome devil. But anyway, if you want to put this on Facebook, you can. If you guys want to do that, somebody wants to help Carol, just put it on my page, Dawn. Put it on my page. Don't put it on. So anyway, we moved here. I was just telling you the story. We moved here 8 years ago. So I went looking. We looked for 2 years for a synagogue. We looked for 2 years, and we couldn't find a building for less than $279,000. And every building that we found that was either $279,000 or more seated 120 people or less. Well, some of the ones that were more expensive. There was one that seated more people that was $700,000. we weren't in the market. You know, when you're a small group, even if you're 80 people, 700,000 is a lot of money, right? You know, especially when the people that come to your congregation are people that work with their hands, people on fixed incomes, people, you know, working in Walmart as sporting goods managers and things like that. You know, we didn't have doctors and lawyers and you know, accountants and, you know, independent, you know, what do you call them? People who inherit a lot of money. People of leisure. Heiresses. We didn't have them. So, anyway, are we on Facebook now? Is that? Yeah. All right. Shalom, everybody. This is Rabbi Joe, and this is our Nila service, our concluding service. And I want to welcome you to our concluding service. And I was just saying that we moved here to this synagogue, and when we moved, we found this place, and this is in the poor side of town. You know, remember that song, Johnny so-and-so? Johnny Rivers, he's saying, you know, on the poor side of town, you know. And this is on the poor side of town, you know. But we saw this, I saw this building, and it was solid as a rock. I mean, this is a brick building. It seats 140 people. It's solid as a rock. I mean, we haven't done a thing. What we've done, we've rewired it. The electrical is rewired. All the plumbing is redone with PEX. And you know, everything's done on the guts are redone. We haven't done anything really except put up banners and curtains, you know, and a sound system. You know, I'd like to redo the whole sanctuary and make it a little more updated. But, you know, it's okay. I mean, it works, right? You know, any group could move in here. And we've had eight or nine floods down in our fellowship hall. So they say the church is going to go underground. I can tell you, when the church goes underground, they're going to get wet. So, but we finally fixed our eighth or ninth flood. And praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord praise. As we're going to have our fellowship hall for Sukkot. We're going to have our fellowship hall for Sukkot, and I'm excited about that. Tonight is Nila, the closing of the gates, and on Yom Kippur, and this is the final, this is the end of the day of the season of judgment. And if you read in the Bible, and I'm not going to go reading through everything, every chapter, but I'm going to just tell you that, okay, so on the first day of the seventh month is Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. And we read about it in Leviticus 23, the first day of the seventh month, and Leviticus 23 is the Feast of Trumpets, right? Can I get an amen? Okay. Now, you read something interesting at the very beginning of the chapter, and this is very key to your success. My job as a rabbi, you know, I watch Jim Cramer. I like Mad Money, and I think he's funny. And I enjoy listening to him, and I learn from him. And I watch Mad Money, and I learn from Jim Cramer. Sometimes I don't agree with him, but I just think he's humorous. I enjoy watching the show now and then. Okay, so he always says, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to help you make money. That's what he says. He says, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to help you make money. And you know, I'm glad, because I don't want to be his friend. I'd rather he help me make money. You know, I've got enough friends, and I don't need friends in New York, because I can't. I mean, I love my friends in New York. If you're watching, but don't get me wrong, I hardly ever see you, and you'll hardly ever see me, because you don't come here, and I rarely get there. Once in the last 2 years, but my point is that God says to be. This is one of God's appointed times. Let's read Leviticus 23:1. The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times, another word for a more modern way of saying that is God's appointments. Can we all say that? Appointments? Appointments. Say it louder. Appointments. Amen. Which you shall proclaim as holy convocations. Now, most of you know that the word holy convocation in Hebrew is Mikre Kodesh. Mikre Kodesh. And that means two things. It means holy, sacred congregation, solemn assembly. So when you go to church or a synagogue to worship God, that's a solemn assembly. So you're to gather together in the house of the Lord, right? Amen. I'll take the offering at the end, okay? Because I'm getting into it here. So if you don't mind. But not saying you can't get ready. I'm sorry, guys. Don't mind me. I'm just saying I'll take it at the end. But anyway, the point is, God says you are to. He has 8 appointments in this chapter. Appointed times when I was a Sunday pastor. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say worship on Sunday. It says the disciples got together and broke bread on Sunday. That's about all it says. It does say Yeshua rose from the dead, Matthew 28, on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, is the first day of the week. But nowhere does it command us to worship on Sunday or hold a service. Now, it also says in the Bible, wherever two or more are gathered in his name, there he is also. Amen? So wherever two or more are gathered, you can have church, right? Or synagogue, or whatever you want to call it. You can have it, worship, wherever two or more are gathered in his name. And can I get an amen? Amen. So I have experienced the power of God on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday again. I've experienced it every day of the week. I've experienced the power of God. Now, today's Monday, and God's power came on me when my doggy was about to be put down, and I was just too weak to watch it, and I felt like I had to leave and said to Dawn, I think I got to go. I can't sit and watch this. It's just tearing me up. And then the strength of God came on me. I can feel it. And I was touched by God today. It may sound trivial to you, to some people. I know dog lovers, it doesn't sound trivial to them. But if you're not a dog lover, it may sound trivial. The guy's his dog, you know, was put down. But the point is, it's not so much about that. It's that the power of God came on me and gave me the strength to stay in there in the room and comfort my family and not even shed a tear, you know, when I was broken. I felt my heart broken and I felt like I had to leave. But when God's power came on me, everything was all right. Everything was all right when the Holy Spirit came on me, okay? So God gives us these feasts, and he says, these are my appointments. So yeah, you can get together on Monday. You can get together on Tuesday. You can get together on Sunday. But God has 8 appointments, and they're called Sabbath. They're called Passover. They're called Feast of First Fruits. They're called Feast of Unleavened Bread. They're called Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost. They're called the Day of Blowing of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. In case if you're Christian, you know what I'm talking about. If you ever read John 7, it says that Jesus was he went up to the temple in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles in John 7, and he cried out at the end of the feast on the last and greatest day of the feast. He said, if any man thirst, let him come to me, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Amen. That was the Feast of Sukkot. That's next week. That's next week. And if you go to my website, www.forzionsake.org, you'll see the dates. We have a schedule of all the feasts, and so we celebrate that feast that Jesus Yeshua went to Jerusalem, and he went up in the middle of the feast because his brother said, aren't you going up to Jerusalem? You know, you're Mr. Hotshot Messiah, you know, don't you need to be up there? And he said, my time hasn't come yet, right? My time hasn't come yet, because he knew they were going to kill him. And his brothers weren't really his friends, you know. How many of you can relate to that? I have a brother who sticks to me like a piece of gum on my bottom of my foot. That's about how close we are. You know, that's my brother, unfortunately. But I have a million brothers in the Lord, you know, thank God. Even though I don't, my earthly brother is nothing to me. Well, he's something to me. I'm nothing to him. It's actually the way it works. I never left him. He left me. But apart from that, and I'm okay. You know, I'm okay with that. You know. But anyway, that's not my message. My point is God has appointments. So when you read in John 7 where Yeshua went up in the middle of the feast, he waited till after they would have killed him. And then he shows up in the temple and he says, and he cries out in the middle of everybody, "If any man thirsts, let him come to me, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." Hallelujah. Amen. And they didn't kill him because I guess whoever would have killed him was already gone, or maybe they got food poisoning. I don't know. You know, but they, you know, they left. They weren't there. They didn't try to kill him. Okay. But that was one of God's appointed times. Do you know he was always in Jerusalem? If you read Leviticus 23, he was there for the appointed times. And the appointed times, there's actually three main ones in the fall. Well, actually, three main appointed times. It's called the Shalosh Regalim. Everybody say Shalosh Regalim. And they are the Feast of Shavuot, Pentecost. Passover is the first one, or Unleavened Bread is the first one. The second one is Shavuot, or Pentecost. And the third one is Sukkot. Now, if you're going to go up to Jerusalem and walk 80 miles or 85 miles from Galilee in all seasons of the year, like, you know, winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call. If you're going to go up to Jerusalem and walk 80 miles, you're going to have a reason. That's like walking from here to Morristown, you know? I mean, do you know anybody that walks from Bristol to Morristown? Have you ever met anybody? I know a guy. We used to have a guy that rode his bike from Johnson City. And sometimes his bike broke down and he walked. He used to walk. You know, you remember Eric. Eric used to walk or ride his bike to services. It was amazing. You know, and he was so dedicated, and he was so dirty. he'd show up sweaty. This is a funny story. Eric's a great guy. Don't get me wrong. I got to tell you this story. We're at the Haven of Rest, and this is years ago. We were doing ministry at the Haven of Rest, which is where the homeless people, one of the homeless shelters in town. And this guy, Eric, who comes from a well-to-do family, he was with us on a Friday night, and he would ride his bike. Now, when you ride your bike from Johnson City, about 25 miles, you sweat. And he would wear, you know, dingy T-shirts and jeans, and he'd come in kind of dirty and sweaty and grimy. You know, if you ride 25 miles, you're going to be grimy. You're going to need a shower. You know what I mean? You're really going to need a shower. Now, we love Eric, don't get me wrong, but he would show up. So we're there ministering to the folks at the Haven of Rest, and it came time for them to go to bed. And so the guy that was rounding everyone up to go to bed when we, you know, because and they were going to send us away, they tried to round Eric up. They said, "Hey, buddy, go on in, take your shower and go to bed." You know, he says, "I don't stay here." I just thought that was the funniest thing, you know. You know, I'm not, this is the one holiday of the year that Jews don't dress up, okay? Jews, religious Jews wear sneakers on this holiday, okay? I'm wearing, they're not Sperry Topsiders, they're cheapo imitations from Walmart. But seriously, you're wearing them. Anthony's wearing them too. And we're told not to wear comfortable shoes. Not like leather shoes. Like, what's a nice leather shoe, Anthony? You wear some nice ones. Those caramel colored ones. What do you call those? Allen Edmonds. Yeah, I inherited a pair of Allen Edmonds shoes from my dad. Those are some very expensive, $250, $300, $400 shoes. And I got a pair from dad when he died. And Anthony, I think, has a pair. or two or three. I don't know. Anyway, he gets Alan Edmonds, I get Rugers. But anyway, that's besides the point. Seriously. We're not supposed to be comfortable on this holiday. We're supposed to be uncomfortable. So by wearing sneakers is a way of saying, you know, we're wearing something that's not as comfortable as a leather shoe. And that's, Jews often wear sneakers on this holiday. And that's why I'm wearing sneakers, to show you that. But the point I want to make here is, so if in Leviticus 23, God says, speak to the sons of Israel and say unto them, the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, sacred assemblies. So you're to gather together in the house of the Lord. My appointed times are these. And you'd have a holy convocation. A holy convocation is when you get together to worship God. You know, like we are tonight. Amen? It's when you get together to worship God like we are tonight. Okay? Generally, it's done in the house of the Lord. I guess some folks have home groups, you know. If, you know, you have peace about doing that with God, whoever does that, you know, praise God. God told me to start a congregation here, and I did 21 years ago. But the point is, God shows up at his appointed times. God shows up. Now, he shows up. He can show up on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, or Sunday. But he says, he promises to show up on his appointed times. Amen? Now, turn to Luke, just to give you proof of this. Turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. And the Lord said to his disciples, just as he was leaving, I want to show you two cool things here. One, he says, and he said to them in verse 46, well, first in verse 45, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So, you know, to truly understand the word of God, and I've heard a lot of men of God, preachers teach on revelation without a revelation. The worst thing you can do is teach on revelation without a revelation. The worst thing you can do is teach on prophecy without a revelation. When God doesn't open your mind to the scriptures, then you shouldn't be teaching the scriptures. If you have to read it out of a book because God didn't give it to you, if you don't have a revelation, I would beware of being a teacher, because God warns. He says teachers will be held to a higher standard. He says that. Teachers will be held accountable to a higher standard, and they will be judged more severely. So when you teach, you ought to really know what you're teaching, and you really ought to have a revelation. And I really don't write these newsletters without a revelation. I don't just sit down and write. I can't write. I've written hundreds of these, 4 pages each, almost every 6 weeks for 21 years. I could never have done that without God. I mean, the inspiration to write them. I sit there sometimes for weeks trying to write, and then I used to get frustrated, and I used to get upset with myself, and I get really stressed out because it didn't come, and it didn't come, and I'm like, God, I need to get a newsletter out. You know, I'm being inconsistent, and I'm not being disciplined, you know. And God would say, when I'm ready, I'll give it to you. You know, chill out. Just chill out, Joe. Chill out. And then I'd pray, and he'd give me the download, amen? All right. So that's one thing he says here. That's a very important verse, verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Verse 46, it says, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Repentance for sins, for forgiveness of sins, would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, he said to them. And behold, I am sending forth, listen, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. You are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Okay, so now I'm going to ask two questions. Would somebody look up Eldad and Medad and tell me what verse that is? And everybody else turn to Acts chapter 1. So Yeshua said, so somebody look up Eldad and Medad and tell me what verse that is. What scripture verse? And everyone else turn to Acts chapter 1. Okay. So we're in Acts chapter 1, and it says, so the Lord ascended. He's in Jerusalem, and the angels appeared. Verse 11. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Yeshua, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." Now, they were in Bethany. Bethany is like right over the hill. Okay? It's just over the hill from the Mount of Olives. It's on the other side of the Mount of Olives. Okay? It's essentially Jerusalem. It's like saying, you're at exit 10. Where are you? I'm in Bristol. You're at exit 3. Where are you? You're in Bristol. You're at exit 74. Where are you? I'm in Bristol. Right? You're in Bristol, Tennessee. You're in Bristol, Virginia. You're somewhere in Bristol. Amen? It's a big place. And so, Bethany, in the grand scheme of the world, being a half a mile outside the heart of the city is essentially being in Jerusalem, right? I think so. So he says to his disciples, the angels said to the men, they said, "Why do you stand looking into the sky, dudes? This Yeshua who has been taken up from you to heaven will come in just the same way as you watched." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath's day journey away. Okay? A Sabbath's day journey away. Now, this is interesting because they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. That's the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem. Actually, the mount called Olivet is in Jerusalem today. Maybe then it wasn't. I don't know. But I think what it means is where they were going was somewhere further in Jerusalem. You can drive 40 minutes and still be in Jerusalem. You can go from North Jerusalem to South Jerusalem or East Jerusalem. You can go from West Jerusalem to East Jerusalem. It might take you 40 minutes to get there. You following me? It's a big city. It's the biggest, it's the biggest city in Israel. It's huge. And it takes, you can't walk across the city of Jerusalem. You have to take a bus or a cab or a car to get from one end of the city to the other. Now, God bless you if you're staying near the Jaffa Gate. God bless you if you're in the King David Hotel and you can walk to the old city. God bless you if you're over in the Olive Tree Hotel or one of the other little three hotels near there. You know what I'm saying? Because then you can get a cab and go over to the old city, or you can risk your neck and walk through the neighborhood there and hope that you don't get pickpocketed, mugged, and stabbed on your way to the old city. I've been pickpocketed. That was really fun, let me tell you. But the point is, what's the point? The point is, here's the point. Turn to Acts chapter 2. He said, stay in the city, guys, right? And they stayed in the city. They were in an upper room somewhere in Jerusalem. I don't know. They were praying, right? Were they in an upper room? Were they praying? The disciples? Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves. And they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, "Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans?" Now, to understand that verse, you have to understand what a hillbilly is. Okay? If you live in New York, or let's say Washington, and you come down to Bristol, Virginia, and you work for the FBI, you might go to Walmart and look at the people driving pickup trucks wearing flannel shirts and T-shirts and beards and, you know, and drinking Mountain Dews and stuff like that and think, smelly Walmart shoppers, you know, because they're not wearing business suits and they're not dressed in the latest fashion in Allen Edmonds shoes. You know what I'm saying? So you might come to Walmart in Southwest Virginia, Peter Strzok, and you might say they're all Trump supporters and they're smelly Walmart shoppers and they're Bible-toting, gun-toting, you know, deplorable, wretched human scum, right? But the fact is, if Mr. Strzok really knew all those people in that Virginia Walmart that he went to, he'd know that a lot of those flannel shirt people driving pickup trucks and Subarus are Democrats. They're not all Republicans. They just don't wear the fancy clothes that he does to go to his J. Edgar Hoover building in Washington, D.C., right? They don't put on the fancy suits. They're not living in the swamp. Who wears a tie around here except the bankers and the investment bankers and the bankers, and even the doctors don't wear ties anymore, right? Who wears ties? Lawyers? Bankers? That's about it that I can think of. Undertakers. I always say to my Italian friends always taught me to say to my Italian friend Joe Curtatone, who was the mayor of Somerville. He's the mayor of Somerville, Massachusetts. And he would always say, "Nice suit. Who's your undertaker?" You know, and he'd slap my neck, you know. And Tom, you can relate to that, right? I figured you would. So Joe's the mayor of Somerville, Massachusetts, even at this very moment. We'll probably be the governor of Massachusetts one day soon. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. What's my point? My point is, be in the right place at the right time, and God will bless you. You don't have to do anything more than be where God tells you to be, when he tells you to be there. Amen? And if you obey God and are in the right place at the right time, there was a song about that too. I was in the right place at the wrong time. I was... You know, I have a song for every occasion, I'll tell you. But seriously, if you're in the right place at the right time with God, when God tells you to be there, you can expect a blessing. Did anybody look up Eldad and Medad? What verse? What chapter? Okay, let's all go to Numbers 11. Okay, let's go to Numbers 11. And I want to, this, God gave me this scripture. I didn't even look at it. I remembered it. Because I was invited to be one of the seven guys blowing the shofar at the return. I was invited to be on stage to blow the shofar, but I couldn't go. So they picked other people. And that's okay. You know what God showed me? You know, God said, the Lord spoke to my spirit, and he said, "Joe, remember Eldad and Medad. You can't be there. Because for health reasons, I'm not sending you. It's not appointed for you to be in Washington, D.C. right now for the return. I would have loved to have been there. I would have loved to have been there. But God said, Joe, it's not your time. It's not your time to be there. I don't want you to be there. I don't want you to. I'm hiding you. You're not supposed to be on stage. You're not supposed to be on worldwide TV. I don't want you there. Okay? I have a reason for it. Okay, so let's see. What verse did you say, Don? Chapter 11, verse 26. Okay. So, okay, in verse 16, the Lord therefore said to Moses, gather for me 70 men from the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and their officers, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. Then I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the Spirit who is upon you, and I will put him, that Spirit, upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that if you will not bear it alone, Moses, say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. You shall eat meat, for you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, oh, that someone would give us meat to eat. For we were well off in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall not eat. You shall eat not one day, not 2 days, not 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils, and becomes loathsome to you, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? God doesn't like grumblers, okay? But Moses said, the people are among whom I am are 600,000 on foot, yet you have said, I will give them meat so they may eat for a whole month, should flocks and herds. So he goes, let's go on. Let's see where it says. So Moses went out and told the people, and let's see where the elders were. But okay, so then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him. Verse 25, okay? All right, let's look at 24. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. Also, he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and stationed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and he took of the Spirit who was upon him and placed him upon the 70 elders. And when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do it again. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other, Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those who had been registered but had not gone out to the tent, and they prophesied in the camp. So a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, the attendant of Moses from his youth, said, Moses, my lord, restrain them. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all that the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. Then Moses returned to the camp, both he and the elders of Israel. What's going on here? God called the 70 elders of Israel to come to the tent of meeting to pour out his Spirit at an appointed time, not a feast, but a set time, at a certain time, to be at the tent of meeting. And he poured out his Spirit on 68 of the elders. Two of them were missing. Now, it doesn't say it, but I think they were missing for good cause. Maybe somebody was sick. Maybe they were taking care of an elderly person who was dying. You know, maybe they were burying. I don't know. I don't know what they were doing. But maybe they couldn't be there. Maybe they had cancer. You know, I couldn't be in Washington because I had cancer. You know, I'm fighting cancer. And I just didn't feel, my immunity's been low, and I don't have a lot of strength right now, you know, physical strength, that is. I have spiritual strength, but not physical strength. And so the Lord told me, gave me peace about not being there. But he said, remember Eldad and Medad. He says, Joe, I'm going to give you whatever I give those other rabbis who go there to Washington. I'm going to give it to you. And that's what he said. Amen. I'm going to give it to you. And you know what? When you show up, when those disciples stayed in the city, remember we read in Luke 24, stay in the city until you be endued with power. When just all you had to do was stay in the city. He didn't even say pray and fast. He just said stay in the city until you be endued with power. Now they had to do something with their time, so they went up in an upper room and they prayed and fasted. Amen? But I don't see the Lord telling them to do that, do you? It's not in there. It just says, stay in the city. God says for his appointed time, show up. Show up on Shabbat. What did the Israelites get for showing up on Shabbat? A double portion of the manna, right? They gathered the manna on Friday, and they got and it was enough, a double portion to last them to Sunday, right? Or Saturday night. Amen? They gathered a double portion on the Sabbath, before the Sabbath, so that they had a double portion. That's Exodus 16, I believe it is, where they got a double portion of the manna. So God gives a double portion. He is the manna, right? Isn't he the living manna? Isn't he the manna that came down from heaven, the true manna? And so in the Spirit, he's saying to us, come, on the Sabbath, I will give you, if you come into my house and obey my word and be where you're supposed to be, I will give you a double portion of the living manna on Shabbat. Amen? And if you come to my, now I have done Pentecost Shavuot for 21 years here or in Bristol. And I used to get really down on myself because I didn't have Acts chapter 2 experiences every year. All right? I expected them every year. Now, I was like, okay, it's Pentecost, and God's going to pour out fire on the mountain. And everybody's going to speak in tongues, and people are going to fall out in the Spirit, and they're all going to get healed. What are you laughing at, Maria? And, I was expecting, and then I'd fast when I was 31 years old, 32 years old. I'd fast, and I'd pray, and I'd get all worked up and, getting ready for Pentecost, believing that God was going to, have this great revival was going to pour out. How many Pentecosts in history, how many times have in the Bible do you read that 3,000 were added in one day? Pentecost, right? Shavuot. And when the Torah was given, 3,000 died. When Moses came down on Shavuot, he came down the mountain and they built the golden calf and he smashed the tablets, 3,000 died. Because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And that's the message of that, is that when Moses saw them off a whoring and worshiping idols, golden calf, 3,000 died that day. But when on Shavuot, the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were added that day. Amen? Okay, so be in the right place at the right time when God tells you to be there, and he will bless you. Now, there's many ways to be blessed. When I started out as a believer, I used to throw 20 bucks in the plate. I didn't know about tithing. I didn't know about blessings. I didn't know about offerings. I just knew they took an offering, and I threw 20 bucks in the plate, okay? And that's what I did. And then I learned about the tithe. And I'm going to tell you just a quick little, this is what God did. I'm going to tell you what God did. I sold a house. I sold it when I moved here. I had a house in Boston. And I sold it, for $95,000. I paid $100,000 for the house. I sold it for $195,000. I bought it in 1995. I sold it in 2000. And I sold it for $95,000 more than I paid for it. Why did I sell it? Because I couldn't manage the property. It was a multifamily. I couldn't manage it from Tennessee. Could not. I had no one to manage it. My maintenance guy quit on me. He left, and I didn't have anybody else to run the property. So I couldn't do it from here. So I put it on the market, sold it to one of my tenants for $195,000. That house recently sold last year for $650,000. Okay? But $95,000 wasn't too bad in five, six years. Wasn't so bad. So I came here I sold my house when I got here. I had some money in the bank from savings, not a lot, $30,000 or so that I lived on my first year here, $35,000. We lived on that. We lived with Don's parents. We had $35,000 in savings, and then I got this $95,000. And what do you do when you get a windfall income like that, when you get an increase? What does the Bible say when you get an increase? What does it tell you to do? Tithe. Okay, Lord, you want me to, I got to tithe $9,500. Well, I was going to Living Waters Family Church in Abingdon, my dearest beloved Pastor Ed Bowers and Kathy Bowers, little Living Waters Family Church, 30 to 40 people attending every week, small church, nice church up in Abingdon, right off exit 14. Great group of people. I couldn't see giving them $9,500. I just couldn't justify putting $9,500 in the plate. I couldn't justify it. So I said to myself, I'll put $7,000 in the plate, and I will give the other $2,500 to Jews for Jesus, because I used to work with Jews for Jesus, okay? So I listen to me. I sent Jews for Jesus $2,500, and I put, that day, they took the offering, and I put $7,000. I was all proud of myself. Oh, boy, was I proud of myself. I wasn't running a Messianic congregation. This is when I first got here, and I wasn't even ordained yet, I don't think. I was just attending church when I first came here. And So anyway, I put $7,000. I was so proud of myself. Wow, I'm putting $7,000. If the pastor only knew what I was putting in the plate today, boy, is he going to be surprised. And guess who called me up to bless the offering? The pastor. He said, Joe Bell, would you come and pray over this offering? I said, sure, I'll be glad to. And I picked up that plate with my $7,000 check in it, and I said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, bless this offering 100-fold. And you know what God said to me? He said, I'm going to give you 100-fold, Joe. Don't you wish you put the other 2,500 in there? That's what he said. That's exactly what he said. Don't you wish you put the other 2,500 in there? I'm going to bless you 100-fold. Don't you wish you had put it all in? Bring, what does it say in Malachi? Bring the whole tithe. Turn there. Let's turn to Malachi. Is it 3? That's the Italian prophet, Malachi. Hallelujah. I grew up around a lot of Italians, so forgive me. I have a lot of Italian and Greek friends and Jewish friends. Malachi, the last prophet in the Christian Bible. All right. Chapter 3. I think it's verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me. And I told you last night, you're not cursed if you don't tithe. The curse is gone in Messiah, but the blessing is still there. Now here's what he says. You are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe, verse 10, into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Where is his house? This is one of them. This is one of his houses, right? This is the house of the Lord. It's not my house. It's not Don's house. I don't own, my name's not on the deed. For Zion's Sake Ministries owns this. I don't own this. Okay? This is the house of the Lord. I do not own this house. We only owe $63,000 on it, but I won't. It's not my house. It's God's. The ministry bought it. Okay, so God says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, in His house. I have my own house, and there's plenty of places where God says, you build your own houses of stone and whatever, but you neglect my house." I think if you read Haggai, the first chapter, you'll see where God talks about in Haggai the people building their own houses, but not building the house of God. Amen. Just read Haggai 1, you'll see it. That's just one verse where he talks about it. But anyway, he says, Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord. Well, we were praying back years ago, a group of us, and people were complaining that they were being devoured. They'd get a tax refund, and it's like all of a sudden their washing machine would break, and there would go the tax refund, or their car would break down, amen? And the tax refund would be out the door, you know? They didn't get to use it. They didn't get to enjoy it. They didn't get to save it because they didn't, these people, you know, for whatever reason, the devourer was devouring their money, okay? So God, I was invited to a meeting at the Holiday Inn. A guy named Nasser Siddiqui was teaching on tithing. And I went to the Holiday Inn, to that meeting, about 15 years ago, and maybe 14 years ago. And I had been running this business, the Manna Bagel Company, and I was making no money. Because here's how I tithed. First, I'd pay the electric bill. First, then I'd pay the employees, then I'd pay the food costs, then I'd pay the gas bill, then I'd pay the guy that fixed the electricity or the guy that fixed the plumbing, amen. I'd pay all these different people, and then at the end of the month, if I had two nickels left, I'd give it to the Lord, okay? And usually that's about all I had was two nickels left at the end of the month. And I wasn't doing very well. We were doing $120,000 a year. The guy who preached on tithing that night, he told me about Leviticus 27:31, where it says, you can use the Lord's tithe for whatever you want. If you want to go to Disneyland, it doesn't say that, but I mean, if you want to go to Disneyland, you can use the Lord's tithe for anything you want. You can do with it what you please. It just says in Leviticus 27:31 that you, or 30, 30 or 31, it says, if you use the Lord's tithe, you just owe him 20%. That's what it says. Okay, you can use it for anything, but you'll just owe God 20% more if you take from his tithe. So, even though I was tithing on my income, I was tithing on gifts that people had given me, I wasn't tithing on the increase of the bagel shop. So the man of God who was preaching that night, he said, he gave an altar call. He said, we have a way out. And this is what he said. And he says, there's a scripture in 1 John. It says, if anyone sins and he confesses his sins, he will be forgiven all unrighteousness. How does the verse go? He is faithful and just to forgive all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, 1 John 4:9, I think it is. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive all unrighteousness. Well, I realized I had failed to tithe over $200,000 to $300,000 of increase. Because I had given the first. God says, give the first, not the last. Give the first to me. Bring the first into my storehouse. And I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing too big to contain. Amen? Not the last. But I was, for 3 or 4 years, bringing God the scraps. Amen? That next Monday, I went in. I went up and I repented. He gave an altar call. He said, you can confess your sins to God. And I went up to the altar, and Don and I wept, and we got on our faces, and I had a vision of a chalkboard. I saw a hand with an eraser erasing numbers, and it erased all this debt that I owed the Lord, plus 20%. Because I owed him hundreds of thousands in tithes, back tithes. Okay? And get this. So the next Monday, I went in, and I looked at the sales from the week before. It's about $5,000. It was about $5,000. So I wrote a check for $500. First thing I did Monday morning, I wrote a check for $500. And I gave it, he told me to give it to this ministry, for Zion's sake. He told me to give it to For Zion's Sake. And I said, where do you want me to give it? He said, I want you to write it to For Zion's Sake Ministries. So I wrote it to For Zion's Sake Ministries. Okay. Every week after that I wrote, that I dealt with the books and wrote the checks from the business for years, the first check I would write on Monday morning was 10% of the gross sales, not net sales. Are you hearing me, folks? Gross sales, not net sales. Gross receipts. If I took in 5,000, I wrote a check for 500. I would put that in the offering plate here. And you know what was amazing? At the end of the month, I had given $2,000 to $3,000 here and paid all my bills and paid my employees, and I still had 2 nickels left to give to do whatever I wanted. Somehow, the money was there, and it wasn't there before. But when I did what God told me to do and obeyed his instruction, he blessed my socks off, and he multiplied the Manna Bagel business from $120,000 a year to $360,000 to $400,000 within 1 to 2 years. He more than tripled our business. Yeah, praise the Lord. And some is that, and Anthony, you count the tithes. Am I telling it straight? You've been counting it for what, 12, 13 years? It's been a while, but you remember that? Amen. Amen. He counts them. He said yes. Give God. If you want to be blessed, you know, I'm not one of these holy roller, you know, write a check for $1,000 and God's going to bless your socks off. I'm not one of those kind of preachers. Amen? I'm not one of those types of preachers. You don't hear me teaching that kind of stuff. I'm just telling you, I'm preaching right out of the Word of God. And I'm telling you, when God has spoken to me to follow his word, one time I was watching TBN and Benny Hinn was teaching. And God told me to give $1,000, but not to Benny Hinn. He told me to give it to Israel and to a certain ministry in Israel. Amen? God told me to give $1,000, but not, he used Benny Hinn to teach me to give the money to write a check for $1,000. This was 15, 18 years ago, 17 years ago, I don't know, long time ago. And write a check to a charity in Israel for $1,000. Do you know, he blessed me back 5,000, 7, 8, 10,000, came back to me. I have seen such incredible blessings from the Lord for being obedient. And I've seen healing for people who show up when God says to be in his house on the Sabbath. I've seen him bless. Wendell, did you get healed? Stand up for a second. This man is a stonemason, and a concrete mixer chute was full of about 1,300 pounds of wet concrete. Amen? And it came loose. He was in a foundation. And it swung and hit him in the groin and dragged him and hit him in the thigh and dragged him across the foundation and landed on his chest, right? 1,300 pounds. Maria, am I telling it straight? And he, that's why I say he's the strongest man I've ever met. He took that 1,300 pound concrete mixer chute and he threw it off of his chest. Jesus helped him do it, but he is a very strong man. And of course the Lord helped him. Amen. No question. But you walked in here, you were practically crippled. And you came on Shabbat and we laid hands on you and prayed and you touched your toes. Amen. You couldn't go past your knees, he says. Couldn't go past his knees. He couldn't barely bend. He couldn't do anything. You were in agony. And we prayed, and God healed him like that. Like that. And again, amen. Yeah, give him praise. Give him praise. If you've never experienced it, young men, if you just learn to do what I'm saying to do, and I'm not telling you to learn how to read Hebrew. I'm not telling you to learn how to or give, you know, if you work at McDonald's or wherever and you give the first tenth of what God gives you, wherever he tells you to give it, I promise you, he'll bless your socks off. Okay? And he'll make your dreams come true. And if you're sick and you show up where he tells you to show up, you know, I have seen, I went to a meeting. Church of God pastor invites me to a meeting at the mall 2-3 years ago. Carol, were you there? She was there. Man's in a wheelchair. Pastor invites, there are 400 people in the room. This was at the Bristol Mall having a service. Several of us went. Pastor invites all the ministers to come up and pray for people. I went up. There were so many people going mulling around. I didn't know who to pray for. I didn't know who needed prayer, who was praying. So I asked the pastor, I said, Pastor, can I hang with you? Because I don't know who to pray for. I don't know who needs prayer and who's praying. Because I didn't know anybody except my own people. Amen? And so he said, yeah, hang with me. So I hung with him. But then he would pray and he would move on, and I might stay with somebody. I might linger. But I noticed a man in a wheelchair. And the man in the wheelchair looked really downcast. And some people went over and prayed for him. They left him. He still looked downcast. He looked like nothing happened. So you know what? I went up to him and I said, do you wish to be made well? The power to heal was in the room. The Bible talks about that the power to heal was present. And so I went up to the man and I said, do you wish to be made well? He said, yes. I put my hand, I started shouting and anointing and screaming and kept commanding him to be healed. And I said, how do you feel? He said, feel pretty good. I said, you want to get up? He said, yeah. He stood up and we walked. 400 people saw it. Carol, is it true? Say it loud. It's true. She saw it. Another woman who's not here tonight saw it. He got up. We took a picture together, which I've got on my phone, and he pushed his wheelchair out the door that night. That's one of four I've seen get out of wheelchairs. Another one I prayed over, and all to the glory of God, by his power, I saw another person got out of a wheelchair and was walking with me. Now, I didn't even have the faith to pray that this person would get healed. So I prayed for the person in the wheelchair, then I moved on. It was a prayer line, and I moved on. Amen. I moved on. It's too bad they left. It's the best part. And I walked away, and somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, look around. And that person got out of the wheelchair. And I went up, and they brought me back to the person who got out of the wheelchair. And I walked with her. And then somebody came up and said, honey, do you want to get back in your wheelchair? We walked about 20, 30 feet. She said, no, I've been in that thing for 20 years. I ain't going back. I don't want to go sit in that thing again. I've been sitting in it for 20 years. Amen? I've been sitting in it for 20 years. Hallelujah. Well, I think I've made my point. And my point is, when we are in the right place, when we're at the right time, and we're doing what God tells us to do. Pray for the sick. Give. Sometimes it's just show up. Amen. God blesses us. And that's essentially, before we blow the shofar, I said something the other day. I taught on the 10 days of awe. And if anybody could name, I gave you a homework assignment. Hardly anybody's here. I gave you a homework assignment. I said, I named 7 of the plagues that God said in 1 Corinthians 10 that the end of days, the apocalypse, would be like the Exodus. That you can compare that Moses was given for our example upon whom the ends of the age have come. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Moses was given for our example upon whom the ends of the age have come. Amen? I quoted you 7 plagues. Frogs, blood, fire, which wasn't in Exodus, but God, just because Moses is our example, doesn't mean God has to do the exact same thing twice. I quoted, there was frogs, hail, darkness, blood, and anything else? At least 5. Look, hey, boils. There weren't locusts. Actually, there are locusts in Joel. They're like locusts. You're not wrong. You named one. There's number 8 right there. You named one. God, and if you read Revelation 15 and 16, you will see 7 of the 10 plagues. And the 10 days of awe, prophetically, have to do with the 10 plagues that will come upon the world at the end of, in the apocalypse. Okay? But they'll come upon the whole world, not just Egypt. Now, I said, if anybody could come and give me the last 3 plagues, I gave a homework assignment that the other night on Yom Kippur when I taught that message. And I said, if anybody would go home and figure out and tell me what the other 3 plagues were. I didn't say what I'd do, but this is what I have. 6 CDs of the Harbinger to give to anybody who can tell me the 3 plagues. Anybody know the other 2? Well, that was in Egypt, but I'm talking about in Revelation, in the apocalypse, in the apocalypse. Well, if you can look it up and show me lice, I'm not talking about Exodus. I'm talking about in the apocalypse. I said the 10 plagues of the apocalypse, not the 10 plagues of Moses. We all know that. Blood, frogs, famine, you know, flies, locusts, hail. Nobody cared. Most people didn't show up tonight. God has blessings. I'm just using this as an example. You know, this is just an example. I believe if you came tonight, God said something to you. And maybe you received it, maybe you didn't. Maybe some people received it, maybe some people didn't. Maybe some people watching received it. But if you do it in the future, and if you repent because you haven't done it, like I did, 1 John 4:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us all unrighteousness. He'll give you a fresh start. And you know what this holiday is? It's a new beginning. It's the end of a season of judgment. And the next holiday is the beginning, is the new beginning, Sukkot. It's the beginning of the agricultural year in Israel. It's a new beginning. We start reading the Torah again. And so God will give you a new beginning too. If you will repent. Not just you, but people watching, people who aren't even here, I'm just speaking. I'm not talking to anybody specifically in this room, per se. You know, I don't use a bully pulpit if I can help it. But if you do the things that I just told you, and you show up when God tells you to, He's gonna bless your socks off. Amen. And He'll give you new beginnings, and He'll heal your sickness. And I'm waiting for somebody to come and heal me. By these hands, I've seen the blind see. I've seen the deaf hear. I've seen the mute tongues open two or three times. I've seen four people get out of wheelchairs. I've seen people healed of cancer by these hands with God's power. I've seen miracles. I've seen cancer disappear. I've seen knees work that didn't work. I've seen all kinds of healings. I've seen people whose brains were coming out of their skull because they went through the windshield of a car live and become a police officer. I've seen amazing, miraculous healings. I've seen a little girl hit by a Dodge truck thrown 60 feet, and I deputized my associate at the time to go and lay hands and anoint her and speak into her ear and say, and tell the little girl, call on the name of Yeshua, call on the name of Jesus, honey, and you'll be saved. She was in a coma. And you know what? When he did that and he anointed her in Johnson City, because I was too tired to go, so I sent this young man, and he went out there and he anointed her and did what I said and told her to call on the name of Jesus. She didn't know who Yeshua was. And she was a friend of our family. Her mother was a babysitter for my kids. And I she sat up. She'd been thrown, knocked 60 feet by a Dodge Ram pickup truck, landed on her head, and was in a coma. After he prayed and anointed her, she sat up. I've seen that happen twice where God's done miraculous things. God will do it for you, and I'm waiting for Him to send somebody with the power of healing to heal me with His power. Somebody who believes and has the faith, and when the presence of healing is there, to lay hands on me, and or however He chooses to do it. But if He doesn't, though He slay me, yet will I praise Him. Amen. Well, it's a time of new beginnings. Yom Kippur is over, and now it's a new season, a season of new beginnings. And we're going to conclude with the blowing of the shofar. If you'd like to leave a gift, there's a box for an offering at the right there on the table. I'll let God deal with you as to what you want to give. If anybody wants to give something, or if you have a tithe, box is right there. For Zion Sake Ministries, I don't touch the money. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I do want to close with the blowing of the shofar. So I'm going to... Now, many Christians believe that this holiday, Yom Kippur, they believe Rosh Hashanah is the rapture. But I don't believe Rosh Hashanah is the rapture. Because Rosh Hashanah, we blow the shofar 100 times, and I don't see the rapture being blown 100 times. I see one shofar at the sounding of the great shofar, and Matthew, in 1 Corinthians 51, I believe, or 50, 15, is it 15, 51, it talks about in the twinkling of an eye, at the sounding of the last trump, the dead shall be raised. Amen. Isaiah 27, at the sounding of the great shofar, the shofar Hagadol, the great trumpet, the angels will come and God's people will be taken up. Amen. There are several places where it says at the sounding of the great shofar, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. That's a great shofar. Amen. The shofar of God. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead and Messiah will rise, and they who are alive and remain will be caught up to the air to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. I believe this holiday, we sound the shofar once, and it's the great shofar. So we're going to sound it now, because I believe this is the day that represents the rapture, not Rosh Hashanah. That's, you can argue it, you can debate it, but it's only blown once on this holiday, and it's just the great shofar, and we're going to blow it now. Miss Dawn, would you come? By the way, just FYI, when I went to the synagogue growing up, they locked the doors when the preacher was preaching. And they didn't let you in, and they didn't let you out. If the rabbi was speaking, you couldn't leave, and you couldn't come in. If you weren't there when he started speaking, tough. If you were in there while he was speaking, you better hold it in. Page 115, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. This specific phrase was first used when Eliyahu Hanavi, Elijah, called Ahab and the people of Israel to Mount Carmel, where they saw what? Adonai Hu HaElohim. They saw God, congregation. The Lord, he is God. Even earlier, Abraham Avinu realized the Lord, he is God. Israel, during the Exodus in Sinai, understood Adonai Hu HaElohim, the Lord, he is God. The powerful Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar finally concluded Adonai Hu HaElohim, the Lord, he is God. Yeshua HaMashiach's resurrection demonstrated Adonai Hu HaElohim, the Lord, he is God. At Messiah's return, all will proclaim, Adonai Hu HaElohim, the Lord, he is God. Together we affirm today, Adonai Hu HaElohim, the Lord, he is God. Amen. And yes, he is God, and he is awesome. And we are so blessed, aren't we, Steve? We are so blessed. God is so good and merciful. No matter what you're going through, friends, God will be there for you. Okay, we're going to sound the shofar. Tikia Gedola. L'chaye olam katavnu. We have been inscribed in the book of life forever. And now the Lord says, and the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha vayasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah and Prince of Peace, happy Chag Sameach. May you have a sweet and prosperous and blessed new year filled with health and a new beginning for your life. May your life be filled with new beginnings and new blessings in the coming year. And may you rejoice knowing that your name is inscribed in the book of life, not for one day or one year, but forever. Forever. Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom. We love you. God bless you. And those who want to go out and break the fast with us, everybody's welcome. We're going to probably go to Cracker Barrel. Anybody have any other suggestion where they'd like to?